listening to Radio Boston's special live coverage of TEDx Boston at the Seaport World Trade Center. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In this hour, we dive deeper into one of the TED Talks you heard today and follow up on some of the big ideas presented at TEDx Boston in past years.
You'll hear from Farah Pandit, the first U.S. special representative to Muslim communities.
And David Goodtree, who wants to turn Massachusetts into the Silicon Valley of water conservation technology.
And you'll also hear from revolutionary transplant surgeon Dr. Bowden Pomahawk. And if you have any questions for any of our guests, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK.
And first, we're going to turn our attention briefly to the Supreme Court and the major decision at issue today regarding the Voting Rights Act. In a 5-4 decision, the justices invalidated a key section of the Voting Rights Act, effectively striking down federal oversight of voting laws in 9 states, most of them in the South. At issue is Section 4, which requires some states to get federal approval before they make changes to voting procedures. And joining us now to talk about today's ruling is Lonnie Guinier. She's a professor at Harvard Law School and an expert in voting rights. She worked in the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department and also headed the Voting Rights Project at the NAACP in the 1980s. And Professor Guinier, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
So this decision is being described as really cutting the heart out of the Voting Rights Act. Do you agree with that view, and what's your response?
I think cutting the heart out of the Voting Rights Act is appropriate given the fact that Section 5 was the heart of the Voting Rights Act. Section 2 is still available, but Section 2 is both burdensome, lengthy, and very, very expensive.
In sort of a simple way as possible, can you sum up what's left of the Voting Rights Act? What's Section 2?
Section 2 is a provision that enables jurisdictions or individuals or groups to challenge what a particular political power decision, what a particular state or local jurisdiction made in terms of distributing power. For example, districting of members of the state house or the state senate in a state, that would be something in a covered jurisdiction. It would have been Texas or in Alabama. They would have had to pre-clear that particular redistricting before they could implement it.
I see. Lonnie Guinier, let me ask you a little bit about the sort of heart of this decision, which basically invalidates Section 4. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that, in 1965, the states were divided into two groups, those with recent history of voting tests and lower voting registration, and those states without that. And he says the world is much different today than it was in 1965. Why do you take issue with that view?
Well, certainly the world has changed since 1965, but unfortunately it hasn't changed enough. And the jurisdictions that are covered under Section 5 still have major problems in terms of integrating all of the people in a particular state or a particular county into the political process, to the extent that blacks feel that they can elect candidates of their choice and Latinos feel they can elect candidates of their choice. And instead, what often happens in some of these jurisdictions is that they will gerrymander the districts so that there will be a majority black district, but they'll put excess numbers of black people in that district, like 90% of the people will be black. Whereas if they redistributed that power, blacks would have more political power in terms of electing members of the state legislature or of the local educational board.
I see. Now, John Roberts, in writing for the majority, he said that Congress remains free to impose federal oversights on states where voting rights are at risk, but they have to base it on contemporary data. Do you think... doesn't that leave room for protection where and if necessary, in your view, or not?
Well, the problem is that we have a Congress that that currently it doesn't seem capable of acting on anything, and I certainly don't anticipate that it would act on the Voting Rights Act. We did have a Congress going over all of the procedures of the Voting Rights Act. This was a Congress in 2006, and 98 senators, zero opposed, but 98 supported the extension of the Voting Rights Act, and the numbers were also very high in the House of Representatives. So things have changed dramatically in the Congress in terms of relying on Congress to make any decision, much less a decision of this magnitude.
Lonnie Guinier is a professor at Harvard Law School and an expert in voting rights. She was commenting there on the decision by the Supreme Court today on the Voting Rights Act. Professor Guinier, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.